Let us pray together. Okay. Heavenly Father, as we come this morning, you have seen a lot of heavy-hearted children of yours. There may be tears in your heart, there may be brokenness, there may be burden, there may be confusion, there may be loss, or there may be people who will give thanks to you. Whoever we are sitting on the pews, you know our heart. I pray that your very presence, not only surrounding them, I pray that the living spirit of Christ live inside all of us, especially those that need your comfort, your encouragement, and direction. As we open your word, Jesus, may your spirit of truth open our eyes, soften our hearts, and give us strength to do what you are going to tell us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And an armed soldier guarding the war memorial in Ottawa, without his knowing, he was shot in the back. And also an army officer, while he walked out of the shopping mall, without knowing, a car ran into him. And if you did pay attention to what happened to Canada in the past few weeks, you cannot pass and ignore the death of the young Corporal Nathan Cirillo, leaving a 5-year-old son behind. And you cannot pass and blind our eyes, ignoring a long, committed, dedicated soldier brutally ran down by someone inside his hatred. What are you going to do about what had happened? Or maybe coming closer to home, are you the one being shot in the back by the people that you may even know? Or were you the one actually being run down by someone driving right at you? And what are you going to do? Or maybe these are your friends, and what are you going to do? This morning, our Lord Jesus Christ has given you a high calling, especially on this once-a-month Holy Communion service. Jesus has a plan for all of you, English-speaking Chinese Christian of NCAC, or maybe also the Chinese-speaking people together. And also God has a high calling to all of us who claim to be the follower of Jesus Christ, the children of God, our Heavenly Father, and also people holding the truth in us. But you may say that, I'm just a little guy. I'm just like Emmett, the construction worker in the Lego movie. Totally unprepared. Maybe even coward. And maybe nobody will listen to you. What can you do? What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to accomplish? And what are the materials that God in Jesus Christ is giving us? In Ephesians 2, the passage that you have just read, Jesus Christ is telling all his followers, the project that Jesus already has accomplished on the cross, and which he would like all of us continue his project, is nothing but, in verse 15, his purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. Pay attention to what Paul penned down right on that page. It is out of the two united together to form a new humanity or a new man. I will address the new humanity further down in the next few months when we come to chapter 4. But then let's come back down here. Jesus' purpose is to ask you and I and all the children of God, his followers, let us work together to unite all the people together so that we become one. What is the barrier that hindering that we can come together as one? We all wear color eyeglasses to look at one another, to look at the people sitting next to us. I was in Edmonton the past week, especially, the past couple of weeks on and off. I was teaching at the seminary there. While I was in Edmonton, two things happened right in the city that really caught everybody angry. In the Edmonton Center Mall, a couple of days ago, the security guard came to a man who was drinking his soup in the food court. He was escorted into the office, and then he was given a written note of banning him entering the mall for the coming 6 months because he is an aborigine, because he was a social worker of his own people trying to help his people. Of course, the whole thing blew into the newspaper, and right away the management of the mall issued an apology and tried to contact that First Nation person. But unfortunately, I'm sure that person was still shaken, in shock. He doesn't know how to handle it. He needs time to digest that. Even though the management kept on ringing him, but he said, "Please leave me alone. I need time to process what had happened to me." I can give you many, many, many illustrations. These are not textbook fiction. These are real. How you look at the people sitting next to you. Maybe we are like the father, that in the movie, the Lego movie. How many of you have seen the movie? Not too many. You and I are like, we are not religious. There are many, many movies going on talking about similar things. X-Men. Days of the Future Past. Transformers. The Legend of Whatever extinction. And a lot of this movement, they have a similar theme. People are searching for peace to live together. And it makes the link of movie, you know, almost in the end, you remember, you know, that is the cue and the punchline of the whole movie. It's talking about the father and the son, right, Enoch? Remember that scene? You know, the father likes to build Legos. And yet, you know, he put a lot of sign. Off limits. Do not touch. Stand off. The father actually alienates his very own son. And so his son built something to keep that tyrant inside. We are building walls. The fact that you have an English service, something in English you do your own, without knowing you are building walls. In your house, you are building walls. Your wall is your iPad. Your wall is your smartphone. You can build walls against your friends. You only text to those who like you, or you think they like you. We're wearing glasses. We look at others and think that this is what they are. Unfortunately, you are not. You don't even know. But Jesus would like you to take away that color eyeglasses. And what did Jesus use? The scripture talks about he sacrificed himself. He put himself on the cross. The song that our worship team chose this morning. His blood and his flesh. You have to understand, when we alienate others, it is caused by our selfishness. It is caused by our self-righteousness. It is caused by our own desire. And as a result, when people don't come along, don't join us, or maybe they act differently, they behave differently from misunderstanding come to prejudice, from prejudice come to discrimination, and come to discrimination we develop jealousy, from jealousy we develop hatred, and we become enemies. What do you want to do with your enemy? You want them dead! That is exactly what happened to the young corporal. This is exactly what happened to the veteran soldier, Vincent. This is exactly what happened to the world. That is exactly what happened in your home. And that is exactly what happened in the Church of Jesus Christ. Why do people leave? Think about it. People don't live for no reason. Why do you run away from home? Think about it. And why do your parents get divorced? Think about it. There is a much deeper cause, because we want them dead, away. I don't want to see them again, not in my life. And Jesus understood that. And so, okay, if you want me to go away out of your life, so I die for you. So you want that people dead? Okay, I die for them. In Christ, those whom we hatred, they were nailed on the cross. In Christ, those who hatred you, you were on the cross. You get it? He bore the enmity. He bore the hatred. He died for you and me. That is what we are called the sinners, but also we are the enemies. But above all, we are enemies, not only one another, we are enemies of God as well. The God whom we wronged, the God whom that we label him as enemy, is nothing but our Heavenly Father. He is our Father. God is talking about we are actually a family together, and yet in this family, we hate one another. But worst of all, we don't show it. We put on a show. I'm fine, you are fine, you come here, I come here. Good morning, goodbye. No. There's still something there has not been cleared out. When Jesus came, he did it, he started it off, and then he wants you to carry on. With his blood, with his body, I hope your heart of jealousy, self-righteousness, hatred is being melted. And I hope this morning, let the blood and the flesh of Christ melt your heart. And what is that? What is the other material that Jesus used? When he died on the cross, when he shed his blood, what is Christ telling you and telling us? To my understanding, the body represents his forgiveness. In the movie, the Lego movie, in the end, when the son shared with his father what in his mind regarding his dad and how great his dad actually was, you not remember the scene? No. I don't blame you. Sorry, I put you on the spot. The father took the initiative to go and embrace his son. You get it? That is how the wall was broken. That is the body of forgiveness. Unfortunately, Christians put forgiveness only in the mouth, lip service, and the blood. The blood is nothing but reconciliation. And so if you were sick to the point that you need new blood, you need blood transfusion, what does the doctor do? He took away your old blood, and then he flushed the new blood into your body. Cancer patients need complete healing. They need bone marrow transplant. What does it mean? Bone marrow transplant means that you're giving a new seed of blood so that you will have new blood cell. So when you drink the cup of Jesus Christ, it represents his blood. The blood of reconciliation. It is the blood of Christ and the power to help you to reconcile. It is the body and the blood of Jesus Christ give you the strength, the willingness to take initiative, to forgive, and then take the step to reconcile. That's not going to do it. Jesus already did it, and now Jesus asked you to do it with him. You have the risen Jesus Christ in your life. Christ is not just in this building. The triune God is not just by your side. Last time when I came, I hope I made myself clear. If you are the fullness of Christ, if you are born again, then it is the living Christ who now living inside you. Strictly speaking, what is running inside your vein is no longer your bad blood, but the holy blood of Jesus Christ. So you're already giving the right DNA. So Christ is asking you, even though you are a little emmet, an ordinary, unprepared, coward, or ill-equipped construction worker, but Jesus is now recruiting you to carry on that construction work for him, to unite two enemies, to become one. Of course, back then, the two great enemies were the Israelites and the Gentiles. But today, the two enemies are just too many. But worst of all, the two enemies are right here in the church. The two enemies, unfortunately, is right here in our family. But thank God in Christ, he already died for you. Your enemies are dead in Christ, including you being an enemy of others. But thank God he resurrected you so that it's a new you, a new person in Christ. So God would like you and invite you to be part of his project, to be his worker. This is very simple. I guarantee you I give you a very short sermon, okay? Which I'm going to. I'm ending my sermon. Oh, hooray, you know. Give you more surprises. You know, if you don't delay afterwards, you can finish in 12 to 11. Do you have your Bible with you? If you don't, I know you have your cell phone. That's it. If you don't have a Bible, never mind. Bring out your cell phone. I hope that you have the Bible version there. Use your right hand to hold your Bible. Okay, I want you all stand up. I end the sermon, the exercise, and go right into the communion. Everyone use your right hand. Okay? And then hold on to your left hand. Give your right hand to the left hand of the other person. And then, open your name. Yes. Okay? Yes? Okay, and then, some of you, David, can you come along? Come out and then you move, okay? Okay? No, 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 they follow anyone with another Bible in their hand. Okay, that's okay. You have two. Is everyone connected? Well, the video person, please. The two handsome guy back there, come down. Come down. Okay, you don't need to be there. Come down. All right. Make sure everybody is holding a Bible from you. All right. Now, that two handsome guys being left out, please, someone help them. Okay, the chain is broken. The chain is broken. Is it now connected? Okay, you are joined together by the word of God, Jesus Christ. It is written in this book. Get it? All right? Now, when we come to communion, follow my instruction. When it comes to the bread, you eat it. But when it comes to the cup, you give it to the next person. You drink the cup from the next person to you. You get my point? You don't drink your own. You give it to the person next to you. And then you'll say, Jesus love you. And I love you. Okay? Say two sentences. Jesus love you and I love you. Get it? All right, back to your seat. And then we start our communion. Settle down. Quiet before the Lord. And then if you want to confess, you mean ignoring others. If you want to confess, you have been wearing colored eyeglasses. I, Jesus, to tell him that because he has forgiven you, you are willing to forgive others. Because he reconciled with you by his strength, you are willing to take the risk to reconcile. I'll give you half a minute to pray. And then we'll start the communion. I'll ask you to come forward, and then we'll go through the motion. But remember, when I ask you to take the bread, you eat it yourself. When it comes to the cup, I ask you, share your cup. And then when I ask you to drink together, okay, before, when you share it, you say, Jesus loves you, and I love you.